Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at the third teaching in our Advent series that I've titled Unexpected. As you know, joy is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot this time of year. We see it on Christmas cards, we hear it in songs. We put it on decorations with the words joy spelled out in big letters on our mantles. But here's what I've noticed over the years. A lot of people struggle to actually feel joyful, especially during the Christmas season. And I think part of the problem is that we've confused joy with happiness. You see, happiness is based on your circumstances. If things are going well, you're happy. If things are tough, you're not happy. Happiness goes up and down like a roller coaster, depending on what's happening around you. But joy? No, joy is different. Joy doesn't depend on your circumstances. Joy depends on God's presence. And that's what we're going to look at today in Luke Chapter 2, as we continue our series on the unexpected nature of Christmas. Last week, we looked at Mary and saw an unexpected plan unfold through her surrender to God's will. This week, we're going to encounter an unexpected joy, a joy that shows up in the most unlikely place, to the most unlikely people, in the most unlikely ways. Because that's how God works. He loves to surprise us. Let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be starting this morning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, if you were announcing the most important birth in human history, who would you tell first? I'd probably go to the religious leaders, maybe the high priest. But that's not what God does. The first people to hear about Jesus' birth are the shepherds, blue-collar guys working the night shift. Shepherds were not respected in the first century Israel. They were low class. They couldn't even serve as witnesses, and they couldn't worship regularly in the temple. So basically, they lived on the margins of society, the outer margins. Yet God chooses them to hear the good news first. So the question you have to be asking is why? Why did God choose the shepherds? Well, because God's joy doesn't show up first in the palaces. It shows up in ordinary places to ordinary people. David was a shepherd boy. Moses was tending sheep. And here, shepherds become the first evangelist on that evening. Joy is not reserved for people who have it all together. We need to understand that. Joy is available to anyone who encounters Jesus. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, the shepherds are rightfully terrified. We know that because the angels say, "Fear not." Wherever we see in Scripture the angel or Christ himself saying, fear not, it's because the person he's speaking to is afraid. They know this either through their actions or their thoughts. And so notice what the angels don't do here. They don't scold the shepherds. The angel here, he speaks directly into their fear. He says, fear not. He's bringing this good news of great joy for all the people. And joy and fear often collide at the same moment. When God is doing something new, it's scary. But the angel says, don't let fear win. Don't let it win. So what is this joy rooted in? A Savior. A Savior has been born. And when salvation enters this story, enters this account, this historical account, joy automatically follows. Biblical joy, you need to understand this, family. Biblical joy is different from worldly happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances, right? What's happening is what makes us happy or unhappy. Joy depends on Jesus. Happiness is temporary. Joy, though, on the other hand, is eternal because it's rooted in the unchanging character of God. The unchanging character of God is where we find our joy. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not when things are going well, always. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, here's the sign. A baby in a feeding trough. That's not the sign I would have expected. It's not what we would have expected for the King of Kings. No palace, no gold, no fanfare. The shepherds aren't asked to clean themselves first. They're invited to come just as they are. And this is still how it works today. Joy is not found when your life becomes perfect. Joy is found when Jesus becomes central to your life. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to be impressive. Just come. Jesus says, just come to me with your burdens. That's where joy is. Not because your circumstances have changed, but because he, the creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, he's with you. That's where joy is found. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. One angel becomes a multitude of angels. And what are they doing? They're worshiping. They're praising God. This is what joy does. Joy overflows. It just comes out of us. It makes us want to praise God, to worship God. When you encounter God's goodness, the natural response is worship. Let me repeat that. When you encounter God's goodness, the natural response is worship. Now, notice the connection between joy and peace. True peace comes from knowing God is in control. Not you, but God. And when you have that peace, joy flows naturally out of you. Now, let's look at what the shepherds do once the angels leave. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So what do we see here? The angels have now left, which must have been an incredible moment in the shepherds' lives. Honestly, if I had been there, I may not have wanted it to end, other than the fact that I want to go and see what they're talking about. And the shepherds, they have this choice now. They can continue doing what they do, or they can listen to what the angels have told them and go. So what do? They say, let's go. Let us go, is what they say. They want to head over to Bethlehem, and they say they want to see this thing that's happened. So they went. Did they go, you know, after some debate? Did they take their time? Did they go slowly? No, they went with haste. That means they hurried. They probably ran there. I mean, think about it. You've just had the entire night sky light up with a choir of the heavenly host singing and praising the Lord. Would you want to just take your time going to what they were coming there to tell you about? Of course not. You'd run. So they didn't debate about it. They didn't delay. The joy that they would have felt would have compelled them into action. These shepherds, they left their flocks. You need to understand that. They didn't take the flock with them. They left the flocks there. This is their livelihood. I don't know if they owned the flocks or if they were just, you know, protecting and taking care of the flocks for someone who had the money to own all the flocks. But they left them. They left their work, their routine, their responsibility. And this is what encountering Christ does. It rearranges our priorities. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. And when a man found it, what did he do? He sold everything so he could buy that field. When you encounter the joy of Jesus, everything gets rearranged. Look at verses 17 and 18. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds had become witnesses. They're telling everyone what they've seen, what they've heard. Here's the principle. Joy grows when it's shared. The shepherds didn't have degrees in theology. They just had a story. They had an account. They had an encounter. And the people were amazed. You don't need a platform to share joy. Remember, these are the lowest of the low in Israel's society at this time. So they don't have a platform. They're not well known. They don't have a bunch of followers. They're not looked highly upon. But they had an encounter. They had an amazing story to share. You just need a story. A testimony. If Jesus has changed your life, you already have one. You can be a witness. You're called to be a witness, to be an evangelizer, to share the gospel message, to take your story of how Jesus has changed you and your life and share it with all those around you. Look at verses 19 and 20. But Mary, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now, Mary treasures and ponders what the shepherds are telling everyone. The shepherds are glorifying and praising God. Two different responses, but both of these are beautiful responses. Mary pondering, shepherds glorifying. How beautiful this must have been to Mary. She had received from the angel the message that she would be carrying the Messiah. And here she is, having given birth to this little baby. And as she holds him, as she cares for him, as he's lying there in the manger, or maybe snuggled up against her, these shepherds, they show up in the dark. They show up and they're praising the Lord, and they're talking about their encounter with these heavenly hosts and what the angel had told them, what the angel had said they would find when they went to Bethlehem. And here they have found exactly what it is the angel was proclaiming and what the heavenly host were proclaiming. And to Mary, this would have been a beautiful affirmation of what she had received from the angel when he told her she would be carrying the Messiah. But notice what happens here. The shepherds returned. They go back to their fields. They return to their everyday life, their ordinary life. But they don't return the same. They return different. Same fields, but different shepherds. So what this tells us is joy doesn't remove us from ordinary life. Joy redeems an ordinary life. I'm going to repeat that. Joy doesn't remove us from an ordinary life. So don't think because you've encountered Jesus that you don't have to deal with ordinary things. You know, you can still get up, go to work, deal with family struggles or children's struggles or work struggles or health struggles or financial struggles. It's not removing us from an ordinary life, but it's redeeming our ordinary lives. Because once we've encountered Jesus, nothing is the same. Jesus changes everything. I love that. Friends, I want you to see something crucial as we wrap up today. Joy didn't arrive the way the people expected it, the way the religious leaders expected it. It didn't show up wrapped in expensive gifts. It showed up wrapped in swaddling clothes. It didn't appear in a palace with servants and luxury. It appeared in a stable with animals and hay. It didn't come to kings and rulers and important people. Look who it came to. It came to the shepherds. Ordinary, overlooked, humble people. Humble people. And you know what? That's really good news for us because it means joy is not out of reach. It's not reserved for people who have everything figured out. It's not just for the spiritual superstars or for the people who seem to have it all together. Joy is available to anyone. Anyone who will come to Jesus. If you're weary today, joy is for you. If you're anxious and worried, joy is for you. If life hasn't turned out the way you planned or expected, joy is for you. If you feel overlooked or insignificant or like you don't matter, joy is for you because Jesus has come. The Savior is here. And where Jesus is present, joy always follows. You don't have to wait until your circumstances change to experience joy. You don't have to wait until you get that thing you've been hoping for or until that problem finally gets resolved. You can have joy right now, today, in the middle of whatever you're facing because joy isn't found in perfect circumstances. Joy is found in the presence of Jesus. So my challenge to you this week is simple. come to Jesus. Just like these shepherds came to the manger, you come to Jesus. Come as you are. Bring your fears, your questions, your doubts, your mess. And don't wait until you feel ready or worthy or put together. Just come. And when you come, you'll find what those shepherds found. A Savior who meets you right where you are and fills you with joy that circumstances can't take away. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Oh, Father, just the gift of your Son, of our Savior, of our Messiah, that on that night was born into this world, Father God, so that he could walk in human flesh, Lord, and experience what we experience, Lord. And Father God, I just thank you for the plan that you laid out before the foundation of the earth. I thank you for the joy that you have available for us today in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, Lord. Wherever we are in our lives, whether we be struggling daily with finances or in our marriages or parenting or work or whatever it may be, Father God, you are there. You are there, and the joy of the Lord is there for us as well, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that that joy is found in you and only in you, Father God. I pray for those this morning that may not know joy, may be really struggling this morning, Father God, just to be happy, much less to be joyful. But Father, I thank you that that joy can be found in you, in your Son, Father God, through a relationship. And so, Lord, I just pray that whoever is struggling and needs joy this morning, Father God, that they would release control, that they would turn their lives over to you, that they would invite your Son into their lives, Father God, and that they would repent of the sins that they are living in, that they are living under, that they are living in bondage to, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you that they will find that joy that is so much better than happiness that's dependent on our circumstances, but a joy that is everlasting, a joy that promises us eternal life, and that, Lord, we can live in today in victory, and we no longer have to allow the circumstances of our life to dictate how we feel, Father God. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for the gift of his life on the cross for our sins, Father God, his willingness to go to the cross to die so that we could have relationship with you, Father God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.